Good morning. We got done so early in worship this morning. Everybody's done and had their donuts and coffee, or we've run out of coffee and they're ready to come in here. We're looking at growing spiritually this quarter, and we've been going through a number of different lessons. This is the fourth lesson, and it's titled Living a Spirit-Filled Life. And it comes right out of the text. We're going to look at Ephesians 5 this morning. There's a lot of rich information included in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5. We referenced chapter 4 last week, but I got to come back to chapter 4 again this week. There's just a lot of stuff there for us to glean and learn about growing spiritually. I got to get rigged up here. Last week's lesson was from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In that text, we talked about John using this phrase, the world, to describe everything that is opposed to God's will. And he instructs us to not oppose God, do not be ruled by the things of this world, and do not befriend the world. Again, the world being those things that are opposed to God's will. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We looked at Ephesians 4 last week, and we looked at all of the a whole description of problems and issues, and it started in the futility of their minds, the futility of their thinking. So we want to emphasize that growing spiritually is about transforming our minds and our feelings and our behavior. And by focusing on God's Word and allowing the Spirit to fill us up, we can cope with the circumstances in our lives, no matter what they might be. Be aware of and control your cravings, or the lusts, as the King James would say, of the flesh. Those are your natural desires. Of the eye, those would be materialistic desires. And our pride. And we talked about how pride often causes us to cover things up, to be deceitful and to lie. And those are things we must control in our lives. Today's text comes from Ephesians 5. We're going to be looking at the first 21 verses, specifically verse 18. Verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. So the illustration is we don't want to be full of wine. We want to fill ourselves up with the Spirit. And we're going to contrast these two lifestyles. One we may be familiar with and one we may struggle with how to understand it. That is the Spirit-filled life. We want to understand what evidence should be manifested in our lives if we are full of the Spirit. We want to be able to recognize people who are full of the Spirit. We want to talk a little bit about the hindrances to a Spirit-filled life as well. Before we get started, I've asked Dan Gray to lead us in a word of prayer. I want to mention Tyrone. Tyrone's leaving Tuesday to go to the Philippines to do some mission work there. So please remember him in your prayer, Dan. Dan?
Yeah. Go ahead. Our Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for everyone here today, Lord. We praise you and glorify you and thank you for this time, and thank you for John and all the work that he has put into our lesson today. Lord, we thank you for everyone here. We pray that you will bless this class and open our hearts, Lord, to the truth of your word. We pray for Tyrone, especially as he begins a mission trip this week. We pray that you will, what we know you've already done, go on before him, Lord, and prepare the field there. Lord, we pray for everyone in this congregation, Lord, and we pray for our class today. Lord, to live a Spirit-filled life is something we all want to do more Lord, put in our hearts the desire, the craving, Lord, for your Spirit. We're so beat upon by every side by the attractions of this world, the deceptions of this world, Lord, because they look attractive, but in the end we find them to drag us down, Lord, and pull us away from you. Lord, we ask you to remove those things from our lives which come between you and us, Lord. And we pray that you will open our hearts to the truth of your word as we study your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dan. Let's go ahead and jump into the text. Again, the discussion today and what we want to present is a contrast of two lifestyles. One filled with wine and one filled with the Spirit. And if I could get my first reader, Ephesians 5, 1 through 6.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as improper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
Okay, thank you. Be imitators of God. Verses 1 and 2 encourages us, commands us to imitate God. We're talking about growing spiritually, so we're talking about changing our lives, becoming more and more like Christ. We do that, and we've discussed this before, that God's given us everything we need for growing spiritually. He's given us His Word. So through reading and study, we grow spiritually. Secondly, He's given us the Spirit, which we're going to talk about more today. But I indicated earlier that even though you've been given this gift of the Spirit, you have to choose to allow the Spirit to grow. And we want to fill our lives up with the Spirit. Growing spiritually means to imitate God, but specifically to partake in His divine nature, to become more like Jesus. This passage also tells us to live a life of love. That's the first fruit. Do not forget the cross. We talked about that last week, that we cannot be blind of the cross. We have to remember what Christ did for us. He laid His body down for us. He sacrificed His life for us. Don't forget the cross. I encourage you to look at verses 3 through 6 now. How would you know if a person is filled with wine? Look at the text. How would you know if a person is filled up with wine? Tyrone's pretty blunt here. He says he's drunk, he walks drunk, he acts drunk. Okay. What else?
He makes
unwise decisions. What else?
No self-control.
Good. What else?
I've always been told it makes you brave, bulletproof, and strong.
How do you want me to phrase that up? Prideful, maybe? I left out an I. Prideful. Look at the text, guys. There's some information in the text. You need to look at it. Happy? I heard some other things out there. Foolish? foolish talk? Obnoxious? We could go on and on. I mean, you all know how to recognize someone that's full of wine. If you're a supervisor or a manager, you know, you have to be conscientious of your personnel. Have you ever had anybody show up intoxicated? You can't let them work, can you? Farm? Well, you go through a progressive situation there. Usually that is more wise than just a reaction. But, you know, it's a scary thing. Because here, you know, you're thrust into a situation. You have to be able to recognize whether that individual is fit for work. You know, it's a safety issue. It's a productivity issue. Who knows what might encounter between he and his fellow workers? You have to be conscious. You know, some of us have been there. We know what it's like. But as a Christian, we need to be able to recognize people who are full of the Spirit. Okay? We need to be able to recognize people who are full of wine. This text gives us some specific guidelines here. His behavior would include things listed in this passage such as sexual immorality, any kind of impurity, greed, that's in verse 3, then obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, that's verse 4. He goes on further, he gives us more information about it that's general. He would be engaged in behavior that is improper for God's holy people. It'd be out of place. It'd be deceitful. It'd be disobedient. He goes on and gives us a very stern warning. Because of such things, God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. I want you to pay attention to verse 4 because our speech is very important. You know, I think a lot of times we look at sexual immorality, we look at impurity, we look at a lot of the sinful nature and we say we don't have a problem with it. But one of the biggest problems and the easiest temptation to fall into is bad speech. And I'm not talking about grammar, I'm talking about vulgarity. Obscenity, things that we shouldn't say as Christians. What we say is very important. Now, I told you I was going to have to get back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. It's real easy to look up to that. So flip there in your Bible if you've got it. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Telling the truth is essential. That's the way we're to live our lives. Tell the truth. Live a life of truth. But especially in what you speak. It is very, very important. Ephesians 4:29. So you just drop down a little bit. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There's a lot in this little passage. Okay? Our speech is supposed to be wholesome. Wholesome talk. Our communications to one another are supposed to be wholesome. Whatever we say is for building up. That tells us more about what we talk about, what we tell one another, what we tell our peers. We are to be about building them up with what we say. But catch this last phrase, that it may benefit those who listen. You need to be conscious that wherever you go, whatever you say, folks are listening to you. They may not be Christians, but they are listening to what you say. And if you partake in inappropriate conversation, inappropriate speech, they will question your faith. It is so easy for us to have a slip of the tongue, isn't it? What did Jesus say? Matthew 15 and verse 18. You know, the Pharisees had come to him and they were challenging him about what they ate, whether it was clean or whether it was unclean. And he raised the bar, as Ken would say. He set another standard. He turned the table on them. He said, but the things that come out of the mouth, come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. So growing spiritually is about what we think. It starts with this transformation of the mind. And if you're reading and studying God's Word, it should be affecting or impacting your heart such that what comes out of your mouth is wholesome. It's truthful. It's edifying. And those who hear it will recognize you as being filled with the Spirit. The wine-filled life. This isn't about one drink, guys. This is about continually drinking. That means continually partaking of the things in this world that are opposed to God. You go there a little bit, it's going to affect you. It can lead you astray. That's what we talked about last week. A wine-filled life is lived under the influence. You become under the influence, under the control of the fruit. The wine-filled life displays itself in ungodly behavior, violence, vulgarity, abusive speech. There is nothing in the wine-filled life that has any right in a Christian's life. It doesn't belong there. Avoid it. Flee it. Let's move on. Ephesians 5, 7 through 12. Who's got that? Please read.
Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret.
Okay. Next question. How would you know if a person is filled with the Spirit? Look at the text. How do you know if a person is filled with the Spirit? And I'm going to tell you that you need to be able to recognize people who are full of the Spirit. That's a requirement as a Christian. You need to be able to do that. So how do you know?
A lot of it is what they're not doing.
Say again?
A lot of it is what they're not doing.
It's what they're not doing. It's what they don't do. What else? Look at the text.
They're filled with goodness and truthfulness.
Yeah. You should be able to recognize goodness, truthfulness, all these big words. Goodness, truthfulness, righteousness. That's right. Yeah, Tom.
And with this, there's the consistency of showing these things in their life.
Why do you pick these big words?
I'm sorry.
Be they're consistent.
They're consistent if you want to take a little bit off the end of that.
I don't know how you spell consistent. No spell check on my pad. That's correct. All of these things are right, but let's look at this because he lays it out very concisely for us. And this first one is an important one. You're not partners with the disobedient. Okay? He is not a partner, a partaker, or a participant with those who are disobedient. He is living in the light, and his behavior would include all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's sort of a mini list of fruits of the Spirit. He is about finding out what pleases the Lord. That's verse 10. He exposes disobedient behavior. Verse 11. And he does not discuss what the disobedient do. And very simple list. But if you act this way, if you behave according to these characteristics, then people will see that you're full of the Spirit. Help me out there. Okay. I told you that it's a requirement. We need to know how to do this. First example comes from Acts chapter 6. That's where the Hellenists were murmuring. They didn't have anybody waiting on their widows. And so the apostles, the elders of the church there in Jerusalem said, okay, look at verse 3. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit. We do this with some frequency here. Our elders come to us and they say, brethren, choose from you men who can serve as elders, who can serve as deacons. Well, they're supposed to be full of the Spirit. You need to be able to recognize if we have candidates, if we have men who are full of the Spirit. How would you know which of the 7 to pick? How would you know? Well, you drop back to what we just discussed, wouldn't you? They wouldn't be partners with the disobedient. They live in the light. Their behavior would be good. Their behavior would be truthful. Their behavior would be righteous. They are about finding out what pleases the Lord. They study. You would see them in Bible class. They would participate in many ways in teaching and encouraging. Next example. Barnabas. You remember that guy? We're over to Acts chapter 11 now. And the church in Jerusalem needed to send a man to Antioch. That was a mission work, right? I think we might have called it that. You know, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. But they send Barnabas. Look at verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. We send men and women abroad to look at mission works, to look at mission fields that we are involved in. We want them to go see and come back and report to us. We need to be able to select people who are filled with the Spirit. So there are real situations that we find in our everyday life here in the church that require us to be able to recognize people who are filled with the Spirit. What is it about the lives of these people that confirmed they were under the influence of the Spirit? Again, you can go right back to Ephesians. Just what we talked about. They don't partake in the activities of the disobedient. You would see goodness and truth. You would see this list. Those things are evident in their life. Mark, you're going to have to help me out. It's not responding. Let's move on to Ephesians 5:15 through 18. Who's got that? Saying, please read.
Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit.
There's a warning here in this passage. Be careful how you live. Again, at the end of the day, we're talking about our behavior. Our behavior is where our spiritual growth is manifested. Okay, it's where we see it. And if you behave according to God's word, you know, if you know His will for you, you live that way. It becomes part of your heart, and so this becomes second nature. But be careful. We can be led astray very, very easily. Every day includes exposure to what is evil. That's verse 16. Remember what we talked about last week, the world, that is everything that is opposed to God. We come in contact with that every day. It can lead us astray. It can cause us to stumble. It can cause tremendous grief and heartache in our lives and in the lives of our families. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. That means get into the Word. Read your Bible. Study what God says. He's given us that information for our learning, for our knowledge, for our wisdom, so we might partake in His divine nature. Now, I want to talk about this one word a little bit. Debauchery. I've been running into this word my whole Christian life, and I sort of know what it means, but I don't sort of know what it means. And obviously, the guys who translated this, they've got different ideas. It's, you know, don't be filled with wine. It leads to debauchery. Okay? The New King, the definition is unrestrained, self-indulgent, immoral behavior. You look at the New King James or the New American Standard, they use a word called dissipation. And it means overindulgence in the pursuit of physical pleasures. Similar, but still a mouthful. The Old King James uses the word excess, and the American Standard uses riot in this place. I'm not a Greek student, but this was helpful to me. The Greek word here that's being translated as debauchery or excess or dissipation, this word is asotia. And it is the negative particle for a word called sozo, which means saved. So literally what you're being told here is to behave the opposite of how you would if you were saved. Unsavedness is what we're talking about. I know many of you have had parents and friends say, don't forget who you are. Act like who you are. Remember where you came from and behave that way. We didn't teach you that way. Well, that's essentially what Paul's saying here, is don't act like that. Okay? Don't be filled with wine. It leads to unsavedness. You're going to behave like you're not saved. We cannot forget the cross. It's a very simple lesson, but understanding how this word is translated is important. Act like you've been saved. Ephesians 18 through 21.
Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Okay, thanks. I don't know whether I'm in control. I've been working on a future lesson in patience. One of the things I've learned is why we're impatient a lot of the time is because we're not in control. Well, when you're not in control, you tend to start just smashing it, you know, and it leads to all kinds of weird results. I know. And we'll get to that later. What other kinds of behavior should we see in those who are filled with the Spirit? What did we just read about? This is Sonny's favorite passage, I think. Huh? I'm not going to make a list, but just look at the text. Sing to one another. We do that when we assemble. We do that when we gather in our homes. We do that whenever we have opportunity. Sing to one another. We should make music in our heart. Verse 19. Make music in our heart. How do you do that? How do you make music in your heart? I really don't know, so I'm asking you. You got any ideas?
Well, don't you think you have music in your heart if you are striving to be a kind and good and Christ-like person? I mean,
yeah. That
would make music in your heart.
Yeah, so making music in our heart is the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in our life. I mean, they're visible. That's a very good answer. Yeah. Now, you ever get a song in your mind, you know, and it won't go away? Hopefully it's a spiritual song, but, you know, it's with you all day long. Well, making music in our heart is kind of like that. What's on our mind are good deeds, these fruit of the Spirit, being kind, being generous, being gentle, being loving. We can go on and on. Yeah. I like to say, and I agree with Colossians 3, it says, it gives us this whole same scenario, and then it says, or I like to say, that's one anothering. So when you're doing this stuff, you're one anothering. Very good point. Our life is to be lived under the influence of His control, that is, the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit by continually allowing the Spirit to influence every area of our life. And you start doing this and it just snowballs. We are placing our life under His control, again, the Spirit's control, allowing the Spirit to fill our lives. Okay, we're moving on. In summary, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let me say it one more time. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to unsavedness. Act like you've been saved. Be filled with the Spirit. Help me out. The wine-filled life causes us to behave as though we have not been saved. The wine-filled life is engaged in behavior that is improper for God's people. In contrast, the Spirit-filled life leads us to behave in certain ways. We should see all righteousness, all goodness, all truth in our lives. Do not be partners with those who are disobedient. Make your speech that which is wholesome, and always be about finding what is pleasing to the Lord. And that's the summary. That's the lesson. You can take it with you. I'm ahead of schedule today. Yeah, Dan.
I see all the right things here. We can check off all the boxes here. But I think the key is something that Ken brought forth in his sermon this morning, and that is you can fulfill and obey all the laws and yet be totally lacking in the principle underlying it. There's, I think, being filled with the Spirit also has an underlying principle or concept of as near to humanly perfect love for others and a disregard for oneself. And that's the underlying principle, the underlying driver, I think, of this. And I think there's an old Chinese proverb, too, that says if you want to learn how to control your anger, you can't do that for very long. None of us can do that very long. You've got to address the underlying qualities, the underlying characteristics of what's driving that anger in the first place. Is it being rightly driven, or is it just being driven by selfish protection, protection of oneself? And that really seems to me to be what distinguishes the person who just obeys all the laws and the details and the one who truly is filled with the Spirit. It's a complete disregard, forgetting of oneself, and just an outward openness.
Well, first thing, I don't think we as humans ever complete, we're never completely full. I think it's, you know, there's people in here who haven't been through the lesson this morning, the sermon. And Ken, I mentioned it last week, but And it's not intentional, I don't think, but your lessons go very, very well with a lot of what we're studying. This summary here, in the green box, you kind of have the principle, okay? That's the principle. And then these bullets on the right are just really the discussion points, the highlights from what we've talked about this morning. The principle is act like you've been saved. You're a Christian. Act like you've been saved. Be filled with the Spirit. Be about those things that fill your spirit up. And we continually come back to what God has given us for growing spiritually. He's given us His Word. We have to choose to be in it. Okay? He's given us His Spirit. We have to choose to allow the Spirit to fill our life. And then we got circumstances in our life. Those are going to happen no matter what. Okay? And if you are growing spiritually, you're better prepared to deal with those circumstances in life. Flo. Y'all just want to check them off.
I
good point. And what you're talking about is what we talked about last week, the pride of life. That's the arrogance. You know, and it can spill into our spiritual life just as easily as we apply it to our life outside the church. Tyrone's had his hand up for a little bit, and I'll get to you. Luke 6:43. That's very good. It ties very tightly to the basis for our study. We started with John 15, verses 1 and following. Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. So, again, he's talking about the tree and its fruit here. It's very relevant. Good comment. Let me get Elton here.
I wanted to speak to this point about the Spirit and singing. James makes a similar point when he says, is anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise? James 5:13. And I think the Spirit within us helps us to sing. This business about your mind is occupied by a song, let it be a song we sing here. And I think that's how... That's a symptom of the fact that we're happy when we're singing spiritual songs. And that's one of the things that we can understand within ourselves.
That's an interesting comment. Elton said that the Spirit within us causes us to feel joyful, and the singing is an expression of that joy.
Well, you should be happy with your spirit.
Yeah, Kent.
you made the observation that we ought to be able to determine someone who's filled with the Spirit. We ought to be able to recognize and identify them. I think right here it gives three ways you brought this out. I'm not sure if it was connected exactly this way, but they're verbs. It is speaking to one another, singing, and giving thanks. So it's a continual action, something that continues in our life. And in this particular context, he starts out speaking to one another with these songs. And so we need to have one another in mind, you know, being filled with the Spirit. It overflows and we want to influence other people. And then this making melody, singing, making music in your heart to the Lord. We have a phrase in the English that says something about this tugs at my heartstrings. Well, the word here, solo, is to pluck. And so you're plucking the heartstrings. That's your music is coming from deep down inside of you. It's not just about harmony. It's not just about words. It's about a message that wells up from deep inside us. And then the third characteristic, giving thanks. These are characteristics of people who are, they are continual characteristics of people who are filled with the Spirit.
Yeah. There's a lot I could add. Going all the way back to Dan's comments and all that in between, please understand this is a continuous process. We're never really complete, okay? And we have an obligation to grow spiritually. And you need to be about that, constantly gaining God's wisdom so that you will be better prepared to live this life and influence others. Yeah, one last comment. It's a very fine line we walk. And selfishness can lead us astray so easily. Very good point. I do appreciate everybody's comments. It's time for us to close now. Next week, if you're traveling, I don't know, but we will be looking at prayer. If you recall, we talked about growing spiritually. You need to be deliberate about it, and prayer is an important part of spiritual growth. And we'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer, and maybe more importantly, we want to understand or talk a little bit about why God expects us to ask and to keep on asking over and over and over. Thank you. Appreciate your comments. Have a good day.